This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com. Ready?
We just close the door, inshallah. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وما أنزلنا عليك الكتاب إلا لتبين لهم الذي اختلفوا فيه وهدى ورحمة لقوم يؤمنون والله أنزل من السماء ماء فأحيا به الأرض بعد موتها إن في ذلك لآية لقوم يسمعون وإن لكم في الأنعام لعبرة نسقيكم مما في بطونه من بين فرث ودم لبنا خالصا سائغا للشاربين ومن ثمرات النخيل والأعناب تتخذون منه سكرا ورزقا حسنا إن في ذلك لآية لقوم يعقلون.
Continuing from ayah number 64 of Surah An-Nahl. Last week, we finished off with one ayah in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala declared that He sent Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam to all the previous nations that came before us. And we mentioned that our ummah is the last ummah, and based upon that, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was the last prophet, and therefore the responsibility of prophethood and calling people towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala becomes our responsibility. So, carrying on that same message of sending Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam directly. And when we have the Prophet being addressed directly, indirectly the Ummah is being taught something also. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا أَنزَلْنَا عَلَيْكَ الْكِتَابَ إِلَّا لِتُبَيِّنَ لَهُمُ الَّذِي اخْتَلَفُوا فِيهِ. O Prophet of Allah, the book was revealed to you so that you could clarify for them that in which they have ikhtilaf, that in which they are disputing. So what used to happen, as we mentioned before, the Anbiya alayhi salam came, they gave the message, they taught the ummah, and the people accepted, and then after the Prophet left, died, or was raised in the case of Isa alayhi salam, the people started forgetting and started committing shirk again, started idol worship, and contaminated the message that the Prophet had come with. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is putting that, all that mixing up and changing into one word, which is called ikhtilaf. Ikhtilaf basically means a difference of opinion. Okay? Ikhtilaf, disputing, difference of opinion. So they disputed difference of opinion from the Prophet that had given them the message. It was different to the message, the original message that was given to them. So they did ikhtilaf of that message. So Allah says to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, O Prophet of Allah, we sent you the book, we only sent you the book so that you could explain to those people that have this ikhtilaf, that have this dispute. Wa hudan wa rahmah. And this book is guidance and it's a mercy. It's guidance and it's a mercy. What does guidance mean? What is the definition of guidance? Guidance means بيان الطريق الواضح للغاية النافعة. To define a clear way to a beneficial objective. That's what guidance is. And if I was to give you an example, somebody comes to me and asks me for directions to get to a certain place. For example, a halal restaurant in the city. So, if I am to guide him, that guidance is what? Bayan. It is al-tariq al-wadih. I'm giving him a clear definition of something which is going to give him a benefit at the end of it. Which is the benefit? The benefit is going to, he's going to reach his destination and he's going to benefit from the consumption at the restaurant. So in this sense, we have a guidance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that guidance is to get to al-ghayatun nafi'ah, which means the beneficial destination, the beneficial objective, which is to get success in this world and in the hereafter. So this is the purpose of the Qur'an. In another verse of the Qur'an, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَنُنَزِّلُ مِنَ الْقُرْآنِ مَا هُوَ شِفَاءٌ وَرَحْمَةٌ. We have revealed for you from the Qur'an what is shifa, it's a cure. It's a cure from what? Not just physical illnesses, but also spiritual illnesses that we have inside of us. It's a bigger cure for that. If we have obviously physical illnesses, and the Qur'an helps in curing physical illnesses in conjunction with taking medical advice. The reading of the Qur'an, the ruqya and so on, it's beneficial for that. But the main thing that the Qur'an was revealed for was shifa, and another verse says, shifa'un lima fi sudur. It is a cure for what is in the hearts, the illnesses which are in the hearts, in the chest, which is the illness of ignorance, the illness of jealousy, the illness of hatred, the illness of looking down upon people, the illness of arrogance. All of these are illnesses that are in our hearts, and we need to remove them. The Qur'an, if we follow its guidance, it is a guidance for that. It is a cure for those illnesses. And rahmah, what does rahmah mean in this context? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala follows up guidance with mercy. So one is to get guidance temporarily. Okay? And mercy is that you get guidance in such a way that it guides you for the rest of your life and you don't need any more guidance after that. So this is the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is rahmah. This is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put hudan wa rahmah. And in where shifa and rahmah is together, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put it together. Why? Because the example given by Mufassirin is that you have a doctor, for example, he sees that you have a spot on your face. Okay? And he looks at it and he gives you a superficial type of cure. He gives you some ointment to rub on it to see if it gets better. But then a doctor will look at it, an experienced doctor, a better doctor, will look at it and he will try to get to the root of the problem, why you got that spot in the first place. Is it because of stress? Is it because of your diet? Is it because of, something more severe than that? Is it cancerous? Is it benign? What is it? So this is what the better doctor is going to do. So it's not just shifa that the Qur'an gives us, it's also rahmah, that it gets to the root of the illness that we have, which is the misguidance, following the ways of the shaitan, following the nafs, and clearing everything out from inside us. This is what rahmah is in this context when it refers to the Qur'an. So, وَرَحْمَةً لِقَوْمِ يُؤْمِنُونَ. And this is specifically for the people that have iman. Okay, if you don't have iman, you're not going to benefit from the Qur'an. Iman there are two lights that are put together. You have the light of iman, and then the light of the Qur'an, and that put together, it gives you guidance. If a person does not have the light of iman within him, and he is simply given the light of the Qur'an, it's not beneficial for that person. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes the disbelievers, or the munafiqeen, that used to listen to the Qur'an. And then as soon as they left, they used to say, مَاذَا قَالَ آنِفًا وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ يَسْتَمِعُ إِلَيْكَ. There are some people that listen carefully to you. حَتَّى إِذَا خَرَجُوا مِنْ عِنْدِكَ قَالُوا لِلَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْعِلْمِ مَاذَا قَالَ آنِفًا. As soon as they left, meaning they stepped outside the building, they stepped outside from that majlis, and they immediately said, what did he just say? I didn't figure out anything. I didn't understand anything. Probably we can take that same example of so many lectures and khutbas and everything we hear, that you know we're in the masjid and we get affected by them and we feel that we're benefiting, but then as soon as we step outside, it's gone immediately. So it has to be much more than just listening superficially and just enjoying the lecture. It has to be much more than that. We have to put it into practice. So, this Quran is guidance. It's a mercy for people of Iman, not for the people that don't have Iman, not for the hypocrites. If you truly want to benefit, then you need to work on your Iman. And that is a constant struggle. It's not something that comes overnight. We have to constantly work on our Iman. As the Prophet ﷺ said, Al-Imanu bid'u wa sab'una shu'bah. Iman has more than 70 branches. So 70 branches means we have to work on every aspect of our Iman, which means akhlaq, ibadah, mu'amalat, our dealings with people, our manners. Basically everything that the Prophet ﷺ taught, in it is a part of Iman. So we have to implement all of those things inside us, and then the Quran will be beneficial for us. After that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then, after giving us the spiritual dosage and telling us the spiritual benefit of the Quran, He then takes us to the physical world and makes us try to recognize His greatness through understanding and seeing the physical things that Allah has created for us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَاللَّهُ أَنزَلَ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ مَاءً فَأَحْيَا بِهِ الْأَرْضَ بَعْدَ مَوْتِهَا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He sends down from the skies water, and He makes alive that earth after it was dead. So we see that all the time, especially in Texas, where we have like a dry season. If we don't have rain for a long time, the grass on the lawn becomes dry, and then all of a sudden you have a couple of days of rain and immediately everything starts becoming green and lush. And maybe in Texas it's not even that much, but you see it more in other states which are to the north, maybe like Virginia and North Carolina and so on, how the greenery just erupts straight away after the rains fall. Okay, I think one of the things that was taught to me, one of the first things that was taught to me when I came to the US was, April showers bring May flowers, something like that. Showers in April bring flowers in May. So this was something that I learned. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that He sends down this water for you, you see it with your eyes, you see it coming down, you see that it's benefiting you, and without it you cannot survive. Allah is the one who is sending it down to you. He is making the dead earth alive in front of you. And this example is given of the dead earth again and again throughout the Quran to show people that the same way He makes this dead earth come alive and these dead plants come alive, He is going to make you, when you die, come alive also. It's not difficult for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to do that. You're seeing this with your own eyes, He can do the same thing with you. إِنَّ فِي ذَٰلِكَ لَآيَةً لِقَوْمِ يَسْمَعُونَ. Indeed, in it, there's a sign for people that listen. Indeed, in it, there is a sign for people that listen. So the question is, why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He showed you something visual that you see with your eyes, and then at the end, instead of using the word yanzurun, looking, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used the word yasma'un, meaning hearing. Indeed, in it, there are signs for the people that hear. So the answer to that is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the teachings of the Quran and the Sunnah are basically taught to us, and if we listen, when it means listen, it means listen, believe and practice, then obviously we are implementing what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to do. The first tool of internalization is listening to it. Listening meaning listening with the intention of practicing it. Okay, so you have, for example, a father, he says to his child, don't you ever listen to me? Of course the child listens to you, but if he is not practicing what you are telling him, then he's not actually listening. Okay, so this is what is meant here. Listening with the intention of actually practicing. إِنَّ فِي ذَٰلِكَ لَآيَةً لِقَوْمِ يَسْمَعُونَ. In another verse of the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes the daylight. And He says, قُلْ أَرَأَيْتُمْ إِنْ جَعَلَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْكُمُ اللَّيْلَ سَرْمَدًا إِلَى يَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ مَنْ إِلَهٌ غَيْرُ اللَّهِ يَأْتِيكُمْ بِضِيَاءٍ أَفَلَا تَسْمَعُونَ. If it was continuous nightfall and night all the time, which God other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would bring about light? أَفَلَا تَسْمَعُونَ. And at the end He says, do you not listen? So He gave you a visual image, something that you see with your eyes, night, darkness and light. But then at the end He said, أَفَلَا تَسْمَعُونَ. Are you not listening? Meaning it's not like the issue of seeing right now. The issue is listen to the guidance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala so you understand His greatness. After that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then goes into describing a second thing, visual thing that we see with our eyes all the time. Allah says, وَإِنَّ لَكُمْ فِي الْأَنْعَامِ لَعِبْرَةٍ. Indeed, for you in the animals, there is a ibra. There is a lesson. There is a lesson to learn from the animals. Okay, what does an'am mean? An'am means domesticated animals, cows, goats, sheep, camels, and so on. These are known as an'am, the things that we benefit from their milk, from their meat, and their wool, and so on. So Allah says, indeed, in these animals, there is a lesson for you. What is the lesson? To understand the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And He gives only one thing that we benefit from the animals, and we benefit a lot from the animals in many, many ways, like I've just mentioned. But He just gives one example. What is that thing? The milk that we consume on a daily basis. Okay, without milk, you know, most of us would not survive. Okay, milk in our tea, milk in our cereal, milk in our coffee. It's a staple of our diets. The Prophet ﷺ used to make a special dua when he used to drink milk. He said, Allahumma barik lana fihi wa zidna min. Oh Allah, give us barakah in this milk and increase this milk for us. So this is again something that we need to understand, that it is good for us, it's good for our bones and so on. That I know there is an attempt nowadays to kind of demonize milk. But how can we demonize something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said that it's good for you, and the Prophet ﷺ made dua for an increase in it. Okay, so I'm sure that that it is good for us, and we need to keep our iman in this. Many people, they tout the benefits of almond milk and coconut milk. If you read the ingredients of these things, there are so many artificial ingredients in them. You know, I don't see the benefit of consuming those things. Allah knows best. Okay, so anyway, Allah says that وَإِنَّ لَكُمْ فِي الْأَنْعَامِ لَعِبْرَةٍ. Indeed, in these animals, there is a lesson for you. نُسْقِيكُمْ مِمَّا فِي بُطُونِهِ. We give you to drink. There's سَقَى يَسْقِي and there's أَسْقَى يُسْقِي. I don't want to go into too much detail, but when it is in this pattern, نُسْقِيكُمْ, it means that indirectly we give you to drink. So one is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives you directly to drink from the heavens, and He sends down rainfall for you, that is directly, but indirectly, nusqikum, that indirectly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put the milk inside there, and we then derive that milk from the animal. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, nusqikum mimma fi butuni, we give you to drink from its stomach, mimma fi butuni, and the thing is, Allah has used the word butun, meaning stomachs. Stomachs, plural. And it is, the cow doesn't just have one stomach, it has plural stomachs. So butun, plural is being used. From its stomachs, مِنْ بَيْنِ فَرَثٍ وَدَمٍ لَبَنًا خَالِصًا سَائِغًا لِشَارِبِينَ. Between blood and waste, the dung, it is, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives you لَبَنًا خَالِصًا. لَبَن, milk. خَالِصًا, pure. سَائِغًا, beneficial. لشاربين, for the people who drink it. Okay, so within the same confines, you have the waste being produced, you have blood inside there, and within those confines, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala produces for your benefit, for our benefit, this beautiful milk, which is خالص, pure, and سائغ, beneficial, لشاربين, for the people that drink it. Okay, so unfortunately, what we have nowadays is too many mixtures inside the milk that is given to us. We have most of the milk here, it is mixed with vitamin D. Okay? Allah knows best how it harms us or not. Supposedly, it's supposed to be beneficial for us. And then you have other mixtures too, like cows that are not allowed to graze outside, which is the natural way. Okay? They are basically just put in a machine and given hay to eat. And then producing milk after that. So the purity of the product that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave to us, it has been tainted by commercialization. Okay, so the natural thing that Allah gave us, that is the best thing, and we should benefit from that as much as possible. But the miracle that Allah explained here is that the same confines of the cow's stomach, it has waste in it, it has blood in it, so it comes out pure white without any tinge of redness or blood in it, and it comes out without any kind of waste product mixed inside it, without any bad smell of waste product. It comes out pure and white and clean for us. In the next ayah, Allah gives us a third visual benefit that He gives us. What is that? وَمِن ثَمَرَاتِ النَّخِيلِ وَالْأَعْنَابِ تَتَّخِذُونَ مِنْهُ سَكَرًا وَرِزْقًا حَسَنًا. From the thamarat, of the fruits of the date, and also from grapes, تَتَّخِذُونَ مِنْهُ سَكَرًا, you make from it sakar. Sakar means an intoxication. So this verse was revealed before the prohibition of alcohol in Islam. So in those days, what they used to do, that they used to get dates, and they used to put them, mix them with water, and they used to leave them out in the heat. And this, after leaving it out in the heat, the sugar in the dates used to ferment and turn into alcohol, and from that they used to drink this alcoholic drink. This was known as nabith. Now there is a way to drink nabith and also not allow it to become fermented and not become alcoholic, and that is that you do the same thing, you mix the dates with water, leave it out in the heat, but before midday you consume it and you drink it, and that basically will prevent it from being turned into alcohol. So nabith is still utilized nowadays, but if you leave it for too long, then it's going to become an alcoholic drink. So Allah says that from the fruits of the date and from the grapes, you make from it sakar, intoxication. وَرِزْقًا hasana, and Allah also gave you a good risk, a good sustenance. So Allah has hinted here that sakar is not good, intoxication is not good. Even though this verse was revealed at the time when alcohol has not been prohibited, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't say sakaran hasana wa rizqan hasana. He said intoxication Allah gave you, that you make from these fruits this intoxication, this wine or whatever. And He also gave you rizqan hasana, good sustenance. So He separated intoxication. He didn't say it's good, and He said rizqan hasana, risk all other sustenance that's not intoxicating, that's not bad for you, that is termed as and defined as rizqan hasana. Inna fi dhalika la'ayatan liqawmi ya'qilun. Indeed, in this there are signs for people that understand. And again, the word aql has been used here. So the logical understanding that we should always have. Before even this verse was, alcohol was prohibited, that aql is something that we use. We use our logic, we use our intellect to understand what is good for us and what is bad for us. So the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not made it haram yet, the alcohol, still people are being told to use their intellect and to differentiate between what is good and what is bad for them. So this is why the mufassirin, the scholars say that Allah used the word لِقَوْمِ يَعْقِلُونَ, for those people that have aql, for those people that have intellect. With that, inshallah, we finished today's lesson. We stopped at ayah number 67. Inshallah, we'll continue with this next week when we will talk about honeybees and their contribution to society. I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us tawfiq to understand and practice what has been said and heard.